Neil and Parkin Show.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Afternoons on the Score.
Off and running. Thanks for hanging out. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score. Divisional weekend in the NFL in the books. Championship Sunday is going to be amazing. And that was one hell of a press conference.
Yeah, it really was. I wasn't expecting much, Danny Parkins. But Kareem Hunt could be a Chicago Bear next year. That's my takeaway. That's the lead. And in case you needed confirmation, the kicker will not be back.
Yeah, they were.
That was pretty clear, wasn't it?
Not pleased with his Today Show appearance.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Good. Yeah, no, nobody else was either, and cementing it as a very selfish move by Cody Parkey, not even telling the Bears that he planned to do it in his exit interview. And hey, maybe it was a strategy to get out. Hey, I'm under contract next year, but my money's guaranteed.
I don't
want to be here. Let me cement it and get out of
here. Isn't that cause then? Can't you fire a guy for cause? Like, you're not telling your people I'm going on a national television appearance?
If you told him not to go, probably. I don't know if they gave him that advice.
Right, but
that wasn't asked, was it? Now, the reporters, I'll say this, did a great job today.
They did. Fantastic job. They were
on top of their game for a change.
I think the Bears beat reporters are really good. And I would have probably asked another question or two personally about Trey Burton just because he did not dismiss the possibility of anxiety causing it. Ryan Pace covered and said that the injury did show up in an MRI.
Mm-hmm.
But how?
Yeah, and while we were listening to the news with our midday crew, Burnsy said, why not at least ask, well, why didn't he at least try to work out a little bit before the game? He never gave it a test. Something that should have been asked, but for the most part, I give high marks to the guys who were asking questions.
I thought they did a great job. Yeah, how did it happen? Why didn't he work out before the game? And how much did it affect the game plan, if at all, with him being a late scratch since you found out after the game plan was installed? I probably would ask more Burton stuff, but I thought they did a great job overall.
Yep, I wanted to know more about Burton, too. In four other NFL cities today, fans and media folks are sitting around planning for Championship Sunday. We're analyzing a news conference. Welcome to the McNeil and Parkin Show in Chicago on the Score, Chicago's original sports talk station.
I'd much rather be getting ready for another football game.
Yeah, I know, Sue. Well, after the weekend's games, though, it's nice to have a departure and something else to talk about because those games were a big pile.
They were, and we can get into them as we go. I feel like next week there's no way there'll be a big pile, but that just sets you up for disappointment. Like, next weekend feels perfect. This weekend was a dud. But I still have been very happy overall with the quality of the product of the NFL.
I don't feel similarly. I mean, for
the
year, on the balance for the season, yeah. And week 17 was fine. Week 17 was more than fine. It was fine like a fine wine. It was that good. First round, pretty good. This round was so bad. I never would have imagined some of the difficulties a couple of teams had over the weekend doing what I thought they did very well, like protecting the quarterback right out of the gate on our first game on Saturday.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck running for his life. I didn't expect that, and it never stopped the whole day.
No question. I mean, it was, you had three close games wild card weekend, and then you had some duds this past weekend with the Eagles being the closest game.
Yeah, and that score doesn't really indicate how lopsided it was. The Saints had the ball all day and didn't score.
No question.
They have a 13-minute drive or something like that.
Yeah, it was a weird, weird day of football, or weird weekend of football overall. But before we get into any of the specifics about the press conference, you've covered a lot of these, and you know my stance on it. I think that if football people are speaking, for the most part, they're lying. But Matt Nagy has been refreshing in that there's at least the appearance of honesty, and he's more the exception than the rule. I found that press conference today to be, by NFL standards, remarkably transparent. They could have easily said, We're going to evaluate all personnel decisions in-house, and we'll know. It's not appropriate for us to speak publicly because until we inform the players what we're doing.
In what, all right, let me stop you right there. In what manner do you feel hands were tipped on which way they're going with personnel?
Cody Parkey's not going to be a
Cody Bear. Cody Parkey would be one.
They told you what the plan was on Leonard Floyd explicitly. Pick up the fifth-year option on Leonard Floyd, right? So that's two personnel moves. Now, they didn't cut Cody Parkey, but they said at a minimum there's competition coming in, and they were clearly pissed that he went on national TV.
Yes, nothing that would lead you to believe, a deal is imminent anytime soon. Of course, the restricted free agents have to test the waters first and then see if the Bears are willing to match. And Bryce Callahan, they love him. A lot of questions asked about number 37 today. Got the impression they absolutely want him around, but I don't have any read on how important he is to them.
I agree with that. But then, so there's the Parkey thing. There's the Leonard Floyd news, which is just a note and a nugget, and it's a fairly obvious procedural move, but still, they didn't have to share that detail. And then how about the fact that Matt Nagy picked up the phone and called Kareem Hunt a week ago? That's major news. This is a guy who is suspended.
Saluting major news on a Monday.
He's suspended. Mm-hmm. We don't know if he'll even be eligible to play week one of next year.
The NFL has not proceeded. I don't know how long they're going to go before they make an announcement on what his penalty is going to be.
Right. We don't know. The Chiefs just cut him, and Roger Goodell put him on the commissioner's exempt list, and the story went away. Like, there's no it's six games or it's this, that, or the other thing. And I don't think that Matt Nagy handled those questions perfectly by any means, saying the only thing he was interested in was Kareem Hunt's personal life. I think you could honestly talk about, well, what about the victim and all of those sorts of things. Like, I don't think by any means he handled that perfectly, but he did handle it directly.
Yes, he did.
So, and that's not damning with faint praise in that, man, Kareem Hunt might be a Bear next year. And people will say, well, what about with McDonald, or what about the current culture with violence against women? And all of those things are legitimate conversations. But I told you this weeks ago that I think the Bears are going to be on a short list for Kareem Hunt because of the number of times that Andy Reid did and gave guys second chances. That's where Matt Nagy comes from. Now, you could argue this would not be a second chance for Kareem Hunt because there have been multiple incidents of violence in public. It wasn't just the incident with the woman on camera. There was also a nightclub incident in Kansas City. Like, he seems to have some serious violence and anger management issues. But Kareem Hunt's a hell of a football player, and if and when we all believe he's going to get a shot to play football again, it feels like the Bears are going to be on the short list for his services.
The Bears with Kareem Hunt are immeasurably better. They are a much better football team with him as a part of it. And at the price of $800,000, his fourth year on his first contract, Jordan Howard is a cheap luxury to have depth in your backfield.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're spending no money in the backfield right now. Right. Right? You have a couple of fourth and fifth round picks, and then Kareem Hunt's going to sign for the minimum. He'll sign for, there'll be incentives attached to it, but that was a mid-round pick who got released and is one incident away probably from being banned from the sport.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
In terms of production, it's a callous world, but I always say, like, you got to separate the utopic view and sending a message and what is the morally right thing to do, and then the reality of, these guys aren't here necessarily to do the morally right thing. They're here to win football games.
That's what they're here. It's his business. Yeah. The three biggest fish in the NFL sea this offseason all have blemishes, a couple bigger than other ones. And Antonio Brown was mentioned today, too. And it does have a clever way to ask the question. I don't know who it was who asked that, but what did he say? Let's just say player A, who has the skill level of someone like Antonio Brown, is available. Are you interested in him?
Yeah.
That was nicely played.
Yeah, but then everybody just laughs and there's no answer.
We didn't get a good answer. I know.
Well, you can't answer because it's tampering and he's under contract. That's why you can't answer about Kareem Hunt.
So Le'Veon Bell is a toke away, getting caught a toke away from being suspended for a year. The next time he pees hot,
yep,
he's done for a year. Kareem Hunt is going to be on a zero-tolerance policy and might be suspended for half the year. I don't think that's unrealistic to you, half the year?
He
already got the six games, didn't he? Didn't he already?
Well, no, they just released him, and then he was put on the commissioner.
I thought he was given a six. He wasn't?
I don't think he was. I think he was just put on the commissioner's exempt list. It happened to be, I think he missed the last five games of the regular season, I want to say. Maybe it was the full six. And there's no word yet on reinstatement in terms of if, when he comes back in. And I think part of that is because he doesn't have a contract with an NFL team right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly what order that all has to happen in for Kareem Hunt
to
play again.
Well, with the
there's
league,
a punishment coming.
Yes, with the league not having acted already, I think it's safe to conclude, although it shouldn't be after Jameis Winston only got three, but I think it's safe that he's getting the base level of six, probably eight.
Yeah.
Maybe the whole year. Maybe he will not play football in 2019.
I have no idea what suspension is or is not coming for Kareem Hunt and how long he will be out. I just think it's very clear that they did not close the door on that. They very easily could have said, listen, there's 100 things that have to happen before he's even eligible to play football, and until those things happen, we're not having that conversation. And Matt Nagy offered up, I know Kareem Hunt. I enjoyed coaching him. He was never a problem as a football player. And I called him last week to reach out to him. I would have loved the follow-up question was, did you call him before or after the Philly game? Because if you called him after they were eliminated from the season, it'd be kind of hard to imagine that it didn't have something to do with gauging his interests in playing football for the Bears.
I would think so, yeah.
Right? And then if you called him before the Philly game, that's just kind of weird. Like, you know, and I get
had
that.
A few idle minutes. Just wanted to check in on an old pal.
Yeah, I thought it was a startling thing to admit that creates way more questions and potentially headaches for them than, frankly, they needed to reveal at this time. Like, I don't know what I'd put it at, but Kareem Hunt is there's a real shot that he ends up being a Chicago Bear.
A texter says Bears have never had problems in the past with guys with questionable backgrounds, and he points to Brandon Marshall. We've talked about Ray McDonald, the pass rusher who was more recent than Marshall. Marshall indeed had a terrible record when the Bears picked him up, and the Bears were his third team in six or seven years only, which leads you to believe with all that talent, the elevator wasn't stopping on all floors. I think he had been arrested 17 times before he came here.
I don't remember the exact number, but obviously there's an issue of, you know.
How do you get arrested 17 times and not wind up in jail?
Yeah, one at a time. It's a football is a sport that you can't be. You could choose to be if you want to, but you're going to be banging your head into a wall in frustration of looking for the morality to rise up over the talent. It's a salary cap sport.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to like it, and you don't have to accept it if you don't want to, but it is the reality. If you can get a player for cheap who's really good despite having off-the-field problems, it does show an amorality to your organization, but it also shows that they're just trying to win.
Well,
and that's what they're doing.
You and I have talked about this in the past, and I'm pretty certain we'll be consistent on this while we agree how, you know, unacceptable, how abhorrent the behavior of some of these guys has been. We believe in second chances. We don't believe a guy shouldn't be afforded the opportunity to earn a living if the judicial system has said he's a citizen, he's not going to jail. Then what do? Just, you know, not employ him?
Correct.
That's not fair.
Well, and you could choose, your organization individually could make a choice not to employ him. And then there's another thing to remind people that this isn't domestic violence. He did not know the woman. It's assault. I couldn't believe that there wasn't a charge filed against Kareem Hunt. Police were called to that hotel.
Yeah, that's pretty bizarre.
Right? I mean, police were called to that hotel. There's video. He shoved a woman. He kicked a woman while she was on the floor. And there was no charge brought against him in that particular incident. And so it's just, these things are all, they're all individual cases. It's complicated. People like to simplify it and get from their ivory tower and be the morality police on stuff. And I get it. It's hard to say he kicked a woman while she's on the ground. I'm going to then root for that player and that team that signs that player.
That's right.
I understand the conflict.
I do too.
And I have it too. But Having said all of that, given the reality of the marketplace in which those guys exist, and given their need at running back and their connection to that player, if Kareem Hunt is going to be employed somewhere in the NFL next year, the Bears are very likely to be on the short list of teams that are going to be considering giving him that employment.
Might be their biggest positional need.
Right. And that oftentimes is the trump card. I mean, think about how much better of a player Kareem Hunt is than Ray McDonald.
Right. He
led the league in rushing.
Or Sam Hurd.
Right. So that, and we know that there is a different set of expectations and standards based on your level of production in any line of work. So I don't think it's a, I don't think it's a given. I don't think it's a guarantee. But if Kareem Hunt plays football again, I'll be floored if the Bears are not at least in consideration for it. And if you, by the way, have a problem with that and you decide to no longer go to Bears games, watch Bears games, buy the jersey, that is a decision that I will not judge you for. That is an individual decision. Everyone has their own morality on where they do and do not draw the line with these types of things. But 312-644-6767, I found that press conference to be remarkably transparent on a number of levels. And Tariq Cohen was mentioned, Mitch Trubisky was mentioned, Khalil Mack. There's a lot more that we can get to as we kind of pick up the pieces and look ahead to Championship Sunday. It's McNeil and Parker's on the Score.
On the football field, you can see what he does. He's a kid that came out. We had Spencer Ware that went down with an ACL in the preseason, and he came in who we didn't really truly know 100% how he's going to be as a player. So everything that he ended up leading the league in rushing last year as a rookie. So that speaks right there. As far as the person, with me and coaching him and all that stuff, there was no issues at all. He was a really, really good kid. He came to work every day, wasn't late for meetings, any of that. So it was obviously a surprise, and it's an unfortunate situation for everybody. We all understand it. It's a learning lesson for everybody.
Matt Nagy discussing Kareem Hunt. Bottom of the hour on the Score was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves return home this week to face division rivals Grand Rapids, Rockford, and Milwaukee. Wednesday is a craft beer arena crawl night, and Saturday is eSports night. Visit ChicagoWolves.com and join on the quest to be the last man standing. Last team standing. It's a hockey team, not an individual. My bad.
That's okay.
Last
That's okay. You stand. Captured the spirit of the thing. This in the 25th anniversary of Chicago Wolves hockey.
I try to.
We'll have to get to, at some point during this winter, we'll have to give some love to the Wolves 25-year anniversary. Like do the Mount Rushmore of your favorite Wolves over the 25 years.
Okay.
I know I'll fill it.
I'm sure you will.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. More love than just the top and the bottom of the hour. You're saying like some actual
Sure.
conversational
yes.
love.
Okay.
We can do it. Texter says, Parkins, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard you say about
Kareem
Hunt.
Even in the team photo.
Yeah. Do you really think Virginia McCaskey would sign on to the Bears signing Kareem Hunt? Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do too.
Yes, I do. Again, I'm not talking about my opinion of Kareem Hunt and hitting women, and this is, again, it's not domestic violence, this was assault. I'm not talking about my opinion. I'm talking about the NFL's stance on second chances and the likeliness of where Matt Nagy comes from and his background with Andy Reid. He's seen his mentor do it time and time again, and it's worked out.
She, of course, does possess veto power.
Of course.
I don't think she would exercise it in this case just based on their history, and I don't know if it puts such a bad taste in her mouth where they can't touch a guy again who's got issues like this. I have no evidence that would support that assertion.
Neither do I. Now, here's the other thing. You watch games this weekend, and you see C.J. Anderson running for a buck 50 and two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
You see Damian Williams come in and the Chiefs not miss a beat in replacing Kareem Hunt. I don't know why a team would sign Le'Veon Bell to huge money. You can make the argument that you can replace running back production fairly easily and fairly cheaply in the NFL if you scout it right and you scheme it right. So why spend big money on the position and why bring in a big headache at the position?
Yeah, but you're talking about two of the best with those two guys. I mean, those aren't just the, you know, slightly above replacement value running backs. You're talking about two of the best backs in the game today.
Right, but like so, Todd Gurley and Kareem Hunt had a lot of success, right, in the Rams and the Chiefs system. Throw Le'Veon Bell in the Steelers system. than their backups, C.J. Anderson, Damian Williams, and Connor in Pittsburgh, all had similar production.
Yeah, Connor wore down at the year's conclusion, but I understand the point you're making.
You know, it's just, it doesn't mean that running, so you say they would be, what'd you say, demonstrably better if they got Kareem Hunt? I don't know that that's, they'd be better, but I don't, 2% better, 5% better, I don't know what the number is. Just, it seems like it's relatively easy to replace running back production if you have a good system.
I understand your point, but again, I think you're talking about guys who are so good at it, they would thrive in any system with any level of skill around them.
Right.
LeSean McCoy had been that until this year. There's a lot of miles on that odometer right now, but he was one of those guys who, as bad as the Bills were last year, not this past season, but 2 years ago, he still was very productive.
So, like, Jordan Howard, use him as an example. I think he's a fine back, but nothing special.
No, he's not a special football player.
And he's clearly not as good of a fit in Matt Nagy's system as he was in a more
old-school,
conventional system.
Right.
So that's a guy who doesn't fit the system. So as long as you get a guy who does fit the system, can run between the tackles, can bounce outside, has some speed, can be in on three downs for pass blocking, can catch the ball, yards after the catch, that sort of thing. I mean, they found Kareem Hunt in the third round out of Toledo. You know, Damian Williams is a nobody running back that they just had.
Yeah, Jordan Howard, fifth rounder.
So a lot of it is just fit for the system. Now, the thing is, and why I think that they would be interested in Kareem Hunt is they know he fits the system, right? Like that's the reason. It's the, they could sell it as, we know the guy.
I think it's imminent.
You think it's imminent?
I do. I do. I think Kareem Hunt's good. You will see Kareem Hunt. I don't know if we'll see him in Bourbon, eh? Because he may not be allowed to be around the team the first half of the year.
Yeah. I like, that's the thing. I just don't know how long the punishment is and when that's coming down. And maybe they'll say, we actually can't rely on him this season. And so they have to make some other move so that they have some help at the beginning of the year. So maybe the timelines just won't match up. But yeah, they're going to be interested.
Don't Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have to go into Virginia McCaskey's office and with a laptop and say, this is the video before we go after this guy. You need to see this.
Because, oh, yeah.
I mean, I think it'd be silly to assume that she has seen the video. Maybe she has, but I think that's an obligation to let her see that.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't they probably have already done that if they're feeling free to comment on it?
I don't know. Maybe like, when conversations get a little bit closer to a reality, maybe they already have. You could be right. They didn't have a ton on their plate last week, did they? Matt talked about that today. It's a lonely week up in Lake Forest at 1,000 football drive. Crickets.
I just can't believe he admitted to calling him. I mean, I commend the honesty, but it's just it's a shocking detail to share that.
Kind of is. It's shocking. It's unusual. Because, like you said, usually they just give you a line.
In the context of football press conferences,
yeah.
It's shocking. I just, it doesn't seem like it gives them much, like there's much upside to sharing it. They could have explained it after the fact as opposed to already going out there and doing it this way.
Given your Kansas City-ness, you can answer this question better than I. Texter wants to know, why isn't Andy Reid giving him another chance? Is it too much with the Chiefs as an organization? That's my suspicion, that they've had so much these last 3-4 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's also, if they keep Kareem Hunt on, it reshines the light on Tyreek Hill, and Tyreek Hill's one of the best players on their team, and
right.
That was a horrifying,
right,
truly domestic violence
so
incident.
So do you think that's it? You think it's the habitual issue in Kansas City?
I think that the Tyreek Hill component is a big part of it. I think part of it is this team is en route to a potential Super Bowl season and wanting to just nip it in the bud with in terms of the distraction for the team.
In the bud, Ange.
I think they knew that they had Damian Williams, right? So they knew that they had a replacement, that they didn't think it was going to be as much of a drop-off. Like, say it wasn't Kareem Hunt, say it was Travis Kelce, and they didn't have a replacement, I think that Travis Kelce is still on the team. But they saw Kareem Hunt as being replaceable, and it's an organization that also dealt with Jovan Belcher.
Right.
You know, so there's, and that was very, very public, obviously, and very painful for them. And so I think that at that point, it was just untenable for them to keep him.
I would have to suspect there isn't a team in the NFL that hasn't had this issue pop up and we don't know about it almost every year. 53-plus athletes in every organization at some point in the course of a calendar year, human resources, the player programs directors have to get notified that somebody has a domestic issue. I'm not saying, you know, it's as ugly as some of the other ones that have been more publicized.
Of course.
But I would be surprised if an organization were to say, no, we haven't had that in 3 years. I bet it's annual.
I always remind people it's not a sports problem. It's not an NFL problem. It's a society problem.
They don't want to believe that, though, because these guys are making millions.
Right.
No, they're not. Jordan Howard's only making $800K. That's criminal when I heard that today. That's not enough money for a guy who plays running back in the NFL in his third year. What? Fourth year next year. That's when he's making the $800K.
Well, that's why it's a good draft pick.
$800K to get your body beat up like that.
Oof. To not get a big payday on your next deal because of the turnover of the position. Yeah, running back's a brutal business.
Telling you, the running backs, they need to form a union.
It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.